Welcome to the Mr. Real to Real podcast with Mike Kell Stevens, where I keep it all the way real to real.
My adrenaline, I will not lose. Battlefield certified, I done paid dues.
My adrenaline, my drive non-stop. Street game, battle tested, spread my name, block the block.
My adrenaline, rise to the top. Cornbread champion, cream of the crop.
My adrenaline pushes me around the clock. Get dough, smoke crow, swagged out, top notch.
Let's go 2023. I am here to blow the podcast game out the frame. Everything I speak, go to the gram, the talk, the tube, and check my receipts. I'm cashing in 25 years, blood, set, tears. I went from mug shots to head shots. I'm talking about Supermax to set.
Yo, that is the hottest intro. I can't front. Like, it's mine, but it's one of the hottest intros in the podcast game right now. What's good? It's your man, Mike Kell Stevens, a.k.a. Mr. Real to Real, and I am here for Season 1, Episode 3, and I am so lit. It's popping right now. You see, yo, my Lakers, loving them right now. I'm loving them right now. Bron, it's going to come back. We're going to do this. It's all love. Trust me, it's about to go down. It's March Madness. Today is actually Sunday the 19th, and today is a special day for a lot of reasons. Right now, it's March Madness. It's going down, and actually, I have a story last night. I'm going to jump right into it. I was watching the highlights last night of the game between Arkansas, and so one of the kids was on the podium, and he was like, well, when I looked around, you know, I saw the building was just full. It wasn't none of our fans. He was like, but they had a section that was lit. And they actually made an upset. They won the game. And it was amazing how they won, because he actually hit two big free throws to send the game. So it's ironic that my daughter did the same thing in her high school conference championship. They were actually up one, and she grabbed the ball. And she bullied, barreled down court. She got fouled, went to the free throw line, and she nailed two, put them up by three. And they put the team in a bad position to make a three, and they won the conference championship. So I felt that last night. And that was really, really amazing. So, again, today is Sunday, March 19th. And episode 3, season 1, actually covers the 16th through the 23rd. But, you know, your man, Mr. Real to Real, is really, really busy. And I had some conflicts this week, so it kind of pushed the show. But, you know, I'm all on Godspeed. I'm all about Godspeed. That's how I roll. Like, life is all Godspeed. I'm on a schedule, but I'm not on a schedule. So, again, today is Sunday, the 19th of March, and we are on Season 1, Episode 3, and I'm super excited, everybody. Thank you, everybody, that's been tuning in. The podcast is doing well. We are on our 30th day of launching Mr. Real to Real, and we are right at 500 downloads. Yes, we have clocked 500, and this is all me off the muscle. Like, I don't have no team, you know. I mean, I got a team, of course. My man Dion, the director, takes care of everything. Morris Media Studios, they on top of it, but this is all about me because it's my podcast and I'm going autobio and I'm coming with chronicles. So it's up to me to produce these chronicles and these keepsakes and these everything that keeps stay on point. And it's going down right now. I mean, the show, like I said, is doing very, very well because, like I said, Morris Media quality. I keep telling y'all, if you need anything done, please, Morris Media is where you go because you got to invest in your stuff. If you don't have your stuff quality, then you're not going to go nowhere. You got to start with quality. So that's the first thing. And my man Deion, the director, is behind the boards, and he's pushing everything, and everything is super, super official. So that's what's happening. But again, you know, this show, again, covers the 16th through the 23rd. And even though we're starting on the 19th, you know, I'll make up. Like I said, I had conflicts, and this week has been really amazing. So first off today, so I also want to give a special shout out today to my daughter. My daughter in Atlanta, beautiful flower. If any of y'all are in any athlete's foot across the nation, my daughter has a campaign right now. She's one of the models, and she's in the athlete's foot. So any athlete's foot you go into and you check out the ads that are up, you will see my daughter, Precious Flower, right there looking beautiful. And I'm so proud of her. She's a model. She's in Atlanta and she's doing her thing. And yeah, definitely shout out to her for the Athlete's Foot campaign. Way to go, baby. Daddy's proud of you. And I'm so, so happy for you. And so before we get started on this episode, I just have to give those shout outs. We need to, today is again the 19th, and I want to take 1 second right now to give a moment of silence for someone that was in my life, and he impacted my life. The moment that we had together, it was impactful. So I want everybody to take a second to pay condolences to my man Lance. Thank you for that moment of silence. Yes, brother Lance Reddick, man, I mean, he was amazing. And I was fortunate enough to have the chance to get knowledge and wisdom from him. The moment that we spent together, I got a lot of knowledge and wisdom from it. And it was only on the stoop. We only had about 5 minutes together. And that 5 minutes was life-changing to me. And here's how I met Lance. We were actually neighbors. So I was dating a model, and we were living in Park Slope, Brooklyn. And she told me, she was like, "Yo, it's this guy. He's an actor dude, and he lives up the block." And I was like, "Yeah, all right, whatever." And she was like, "No, he's cool." I'm like, "Yeah, he's trying to holler." She was like, "Nah, he ain't even on it like that." Cause you know, she was beautiful, size 2, just gorgeous, like drop dead gorgeous. So everybody that tries to do something, I'm always thinking interior motive. So anyway, she said, "Nah, this dude's an actor dude. He live up the block. I told him about you. He remembers you. He saw you in the neighborhood when I described you to him. He knew you. He's working on this TV show, this HBO show, and he said he can get you on it." And I was like, "Word?" She was like, "Yeah." I was like, "All right, well." She was like, "Well, you need to go up. You need to go up the block and see him." She knew his building and all that. So I was like, "All right, cool." So me, I never went to check him. Now, here's the reason why I never went to check him. So, on the Mr. Real The Real show, you know, we always give you untold stories. So, this is an untold story on how me and Lance connected and almost didn't connect. So, some of y'all don't know, Mr. Real The Real does music. And I was heavy into the music game in my early stages. And I had a record deal. So, how I got a record deal was, one day I was in Long Island and in Roosevelt, and I was going for the train to go to Manhattan. And in the midst of going to the train station, I had bumped into, well, I saw this dude on the platform. We had both missed the train. And when I looked down at the platform, I remember his jewelry, like, it kind of like blinded me. And the only person that had jewelry like that, that had blinded me like that, was Jay-Z, because I had did the Jay-Z Hard Knock Life video. And I remember the same, it's something about the jewelry that had this certain glisten, like, so I knew that, because I'd be around mad dudes with ice, but certain kind of ice glistens different. And this ice reminded me of, like, when I had met Jay-Z, when I did the Hard Knock Life video, which will be in another episode. And I remember the first time I met Jay, the jewelry did the same thing. And I met him at the bodega when he was doing the beginning of like the video. I saw him and I got the set. I walked up on him, like, you know, I waited till he had a moment. And I was like, "Yo, ho, what's up? My name is Michael, one of the basketball players." And we just had to kick it for a moment. I said, "Yo, I respect what you know, I respect everything you do. I'm a super fan. You know, we just had our moment." And he was like, "All right, cool." He was like, "Yeah, I'll see you in a minute. Let me shoot this scene." And he shot the bodega scene. So anyway, that's the kind of jury. So when I saw this dude with jury, I walked down the platform and I was like, introduced myself. I was like, "Yo, what's up? My name is Michael. I just did Belly. You know, I kicked him a few of my videos." I knew he was in the industry. I knew, because the way he was, just his whole gear and everything. So he just looked at me and he said, "My name is DJ LS1. I said, "DJ LS1, where I know that name from?" He's like, "I'm DMX's DJ." And I was like, "Oh yeah, that's right. DJ LS1. What's good? What's good? What's good?" So mind you, now I'm rocking the all black Barclays. I'm rocking the black The black socks, Nike socks. I'm rocking the black Guess. I had a pair of Guess jeans that I made into some shorts that was big. There was big jeans made into the shorts. I got on the fucking black t-shirt, and I got on the black and white camouflage vest. Like, it's not the jacket, it's the vest. So, and I got the Lokes on, bald head, the whole nine. So this dude says, "Yo, do you rap?" I'm just like, "Yeah, I rap." So I start spitting for him. I'm spitting for DJ LS1 on the platform in Freeport, Long Island, waiting for the Long Island Railroad train to go to the city. I'm just barking on him. I'm just spitting everything. I'm just hitting him with the kitchen sink. And so he pulls out his next, he pulled his next tail out, and he just says, he hits the next tail. I remember he said, "Yo, I found the new nigga." So the dude says, "Who did you pick?" And he's like, "Nah, you don't know him." So he's like, "What do you mean I don't know him?" He's like, "I know everybody." He's like, "Nah, this nigga, you don't know him." So the dude starts getting mad at him. So the dude he's talking to is a producer by the name of Eat 'Em Up. So DJ LS1 is talking to Eat 'Em Up on the next tail, talking about he found the new guy. So after Eat 'Em Up gets mad, like, "Man, what are you talking about? He's like, "Yo, calm down. You don't know every hot nigga that's in New York." So they go back and forth. We start laughing. So DJ LS1 says, "Look, give me your number. We got a show. I'm going to call you, and I want you to come through." So that's what happened. He called me. I came to the show. I went to the front door, and I was like, "Yo, my name is Mike Keller. I'm here for DJ LS1. He said, "Yeah, they're waiting for you around back." So I went around back. So when I turned around the corner, who do I see? Sticky, Fredro, Sunseed. I'm like, "Yo, this is crazy." Cause I'm an Onyx fanatic from day one. So to see them is just insane. So I see the DJ LS1. He's like, "Mikel, what's good?" So he just tells me, "Yo, Mikel, get busy." So I just start getting busy, and we just start battling. All of us, everybody. Onyx from it was Fredro. It was Sunseed. It was all Sunseed niggas. It was a bunch of Sunseed's people, and that's what made it pop off. And then Sticky came in, and it got crazy. So we had this battle royal, like this WWE, just blood. It was a slugfest. We were just going hard. Sticky came, got all in my face. I mean, Sticky was like, he violated my whole space. I mean, he was like, yo, he was off the hook with it. So they pulled us apart. Everything was cool. And that's how I went down. So now we go inside for this show. It was a birthday party for some celebrity. I can't remember what she was. I know she could have been a singer. Boy, I don't know what she was, Flato. So it was in Brooklyn. So we go on stage, and they was like, you know, I had the shit going. I remember Fredro gave me the mic, and I'm like, "Oh, what do I?" So I was like, so basically I grabbed a mic. I was like, "Yeah. Y'all ready for official NAS?" I was like, "My nigga Fredro star, Sticky motherfucking finger." It just went down, and they was like, "Ready to get live?" And it just went, it just went down. So I had that night with them, and then I met them again at, it was just doing Survival of the Illest. They was doing Survival of the Illest, and I met with them again at an album signing on Jamaica Ave. So anyway, I ended up connecting with Shaquem from Flavor Unit, and that's Queen Latifah's man. That's her right hand man from Flavor Unit, and I was with him, and the light skin manager. All I remember was Onyx had a light skin manager. That's all I remember. His name was Aaron, and he was light skin, and he was the manager. And Shaquem and Aaron and X1, which is Sticky's brother. God bless the dead. Rest in peace, bro. I wish I would have known you was in Vegas all that time when I was in LA. I would have definitely. So he basically gave us a verbal record deal on the spot. So Aaron was like, "Yo, this is X, Mikel, this is X1. X1, this is Mikel. I'm about to put y'all in a group, and y'all about to do this." So we was about to be a duet. They gave us the verbal deal. Shaquem was standing right there. DJ LS1 was there. And Aaron, the light-skinned manager, was there. And we got the verbal deal on the spot. But Onyx ended up breaking up. So all that untold story is the lead up to me dealing with Lance, which is my actual neighbor. So at the time, I had a record deal, so I wasn't really tripping on no acting. So one day, she runs in the house, and she was like, he's here, he's outside. Because she used to be on the stoop, you know, reading and all that, you know, it's Park Slope. So anyway, we go outside, And we get to, I walk outside and I see Lance. And I just look at him and I'm like, yo, this the dude. Yo, you a good actor, bro. I said, yo, you a real good actor. You played the crackhead good. And he just looked at me like, and he gave me this look. And I remember looking like, and he was like, thank you. He was like, that actually was some of my best work. And he said, I'm glad you lied. I said, man, you're a great actor because you really pulled that off. He was like, thank you. So he said, listen, I got this show I'm doing down in Baltimore. He was like, give me your headshot, and I'll take your headshot down to the set. Now, little do I know, he's talking about The Wire. He's talking about The Wire at this time. But I'm like, okay, a show in Baltimore. It was the same thing that happened to me when my agent called me and said, this group called Destiny Child wants you to do this video. And I was like, what video? What group called Destiny Child? And it was like, it's a song called A Soldier. And I was like, nah, I'm cool. And I passed on it. So I didn't know he was talking about The Wire. But anyway, he basically said, yo, man, just give me your headshot and I'll take it down there and I'll walk it right in and I'll take care of you. And he just gave me this look, man. I just remember him, man, being so sincere and so genuine and so real. And just his eyes, man, he just gave me this look, like the same look that Jackie Brown Carmen gave me at the open call, like for Belly. Like, just that look, like I know you got it. I mean, it was like, a lot of y'all don't know, it's also an episode coming up where y'all going to find out about how I got signed to Wilhelmina. I was signed to Wilhelmina, like one of the biggest talent. And you know how it didn't go through for me? They wanted me to do three minutes of A Raisin in the Sun. She said, just do 2 to 3 minutes of A Raisin in the Sun. And I was like, what? And I was like, Raisin in the Sun? I heard of that. And I went to watch it on Blockbuster VHS. I remember. I got it. I went and rented it. This was like 98. Like, and I watched The Raisin in the Sun. And I was like, 2 minutes of this? I was like, nah. So I did 2 minutes of Juice. I did 2 minutes of when Pac goes to the window and he's like, yo, we ain't shit. We run from old man Quilly. We run from, you know, he just, that's what I did. And they was looking at me like, really? Like I played Raheem. I played Pac. Like, I was wilding, changing the voices. Like they were looking at me like, yo. So anyway, yeah, man, I had the opportunity to be on The Wire, man. Lance was right there. He was a genuine brother. He was sincere. I'll never forget that moment that we had on that stoop. The way he looked at me, man, it was just, it was amazing. I always respected his work, respected him as an actor. And yeah, man, that's why life is priceless, man. And we got to take every day, man. And we got to really, really live every day. Like, it's not like it should last, because I'm not one of them people that work like a workaholic. I get my proper rest. You know, I do all the proper things, but I don't believe in you sleep when you're dead. I don't believe in that. That's nothing. That's not right. So, but nah, man, Lance was just a good brother. He brought a lot to the game, and he's missed already, because I respect his work, and I had a moment with him. I had a real genuine moment with him, and, never forget him. So again, man, everybody, man, Lance is just, he makes me just get my life together, man. And I'm in the process now of like doing a lot of things with my life. Yeah, that's incredible. So Lance, man, we love you. Chadwick, all y'all, man. It's deep. So we here with you. It is going down, and I'm excited because I'm always gonna drop jewels on you and give you mathematics, because one is knowledge, two is wisdom, and three is understanding. So right now we have to understand the episode, and we're getting into it. We've already covered a few things, and I need to actually, it's about to get real. So we already talked about my daughter. We already talked about her in Athlete's Foot, Precious Flower in Atlanta. I love you, baby. We already talked about Lance, which has been very, 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 very moment in my life I never forget. Now we're going to get into a couple things that I did as an actor. So on March 16th, I shot a very, 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 very funny spoof called Black People Can't Swim. Yes, USB News. It was hilarious. Actually, the director which is a cool dude. His name is Coke. He is the director behind Karen, that amazing project Karen. And he did this Black People Cannot Swim spoof. And I played a gang member. My girl Tyra Richards, she hit me up and was like, hey. No, I actually saw the ad on LA Casting, I think, or either Actors Access. And I submitted for it. And what made it funny was it said, it was like a gang member that is an expert swimmer. And I'm like, what? Like, what gang member do you know as an expert swimmer? Because I know some gang members and they don't like water at all. Like, they don't play that. I don't know. Something about them, I don't know. It's, they don't play water. They don't play no water games. So when they said that, I was like, this is interesting. So when I submitted for it, I think Tyra hit me back, or somebody from their camp hit me back, and I was like, oh, hey. It's like, what's up, Tyra? So I did the job, and I actually showed up. It was in Inglewood. So as soon as I walked in, right, it was in the backyard. Yo, it was crazy, right, because the pool was green. Yo, the pool was green. Like, I was like, yo, y'all play it right now. But when you're an actor, you gotta do what you gotta do, man. You gotta take it for the team. And I've been all in since day one. So the scene was hilarious. You have to watch this Black People Can't Swim. You will see, we have the link and you'll be able to see it. Everything will come up. Don't worry about nothing. But that was a good show. And a good spoof, a good skit. And I have fun with that because it was really, really funny. And I love the dialogue. And it was just like, just to be able to do that job really, really, really was like super duper awesome, dope. Because the dialogue was, she was asking me, can I swim? And I'm like, no, I can't swim. Like, I'm from the hood. We don't know how to swim. And she goes through this, all this, me going back and forth. But the funny part is when she tells me there's something inside the pool, she's like, look, what's in the pool? So I turn around to look like, what? Because I'm not going to blow it for you. I want you all to watch it. So you have to go watch it. But she tells me what's in the pool. And I go to look what's in the pool. And she, yo, it's just, you gotta see it. And I don't want to blow it for you. But yeah, that was a great, great job. I love working with our people, especially with seeing him do Karen and go on. But yeah, man, you gotta check it out. Black People Can't Swim. It's actually on my YouTube channel. So you can see it either on my YouTube channel or you can go to YouTube on your own and see it. But USB News, Black People Can't Swim. All right. It's time to get it in now. This is about to get really exciting. Season 1, Episode 3. It's about to go down. So, on March 18th of 2012, Mykel Stephens, a.k.a. Mr. Real or Real, shot his documentary, the Autobio short. That ended up being the award-winning short. We did that on March 18th. Which is Mr. Real to Real. And doing that documentary, my documentary, it was amazing. It was just like, because this is just what happened. I reached out to a big time director, producer, and I said, yo, man, I want to do a TV pilot. And he was like, a pilot about what? I said, a pilot about me. The way I came from the open call, you know, just basically like, you know, just me. And he was like, what you mean? I said, bro, I'm a 4-time felon. Like, I've been to the pen 4 times. I did 10 years. I've been in the acting game now. At this time, it's 2013. So I'm 25. You saw I was 15 years in at that time. I said, man, that's an amazing story. I already worked with all these dudes on set, bro. All these dudes been to college, man. They got degrees in theater and all kind of stuff, man. Like they not no real hood dudes. And we living in a society right now where society needs a story like mine. We need to just drop my story. You know what I'm saying? And he was like, so what do you mean? And we ended up going back and forth, honestly, for about 3 to 4 days. We talked for hours every day, and we put out the treatment. I told him how I wanted to do it. We spilt it out, man. And then all of a sudden, he just went dark on me. Like, and if y'all don't know what dark means, if you watch any cop shows or any like DEA shows, when they just can't find somebody, like he's just gone. Like, that's called dark. Like, he's just gone. Like, they can't find him nowhere. At no address, nothing. He's just dark. You can't find him hitting on nothing. So dude went dark on me, and I was just like, wow. And I kind of played it back in my head like, yo, he just played me for creativity. Like, he just drained me for creativity, because it's already happened to me about two other times in my career. One of my friends called me and was like, "Yo, Mike Kill, if you was to do a movie, how would you do this and how would you do that?" And I'm just helping him and just thinking I'm doing a good deed. And all of a sudden, a year later, he comes out with a movie. I'm like, "Oh, why you just didn't come to me and say, yo, I want to do a film?" Like, and he fucked it up, and that's why the shit flopped. But he could have came to me, man. So people will use you. So anyway, he went dark on me, and he forced me to do a documentary. I was like, okay, since I can't do a TV pilot, I'll do a documentary. So I started shopping around, asking people to help me do the documentary. Everybody was like, where's your script? I'm like, I'm the script. They're like, what do you mean you're the script? You got to have a script. I'm like, okay, well, you write the script. They're like, no, I ain't writing it. I'm like, why you don't want to write it? You writing bullshit. Like, you constantly dropping bullshit that ain't going nowhere. I'm like, nigga, help me write the fucking script. So everybody was just making all these complicated. You need a budget. You need a film crew. You need this and you need that. I'm like, bro, I'm working for y'all doing indie films. And y'all pulling off these independent films constantly. And y'all getting us to work for, like, deferred pay and, like, back-end pay. So why don't y'all work for back-end pay? And like, oh, it don't work like that. I'm like, what do you mean don't work like that? So it was just a lot going on. I just kept knocking on doors, trying to get the documentary done. I was like, yo, come on. I got some bread. But so anyway, I ended up knocking on one door. Well, actually, it wasn't a knocking at a door. I was at Earl's Grill. I was still living on, I think I was living in Lemurk at the time. Oh, yeah, I was living in Lemurk. I had moved from Buckingham Exposition, but Earl's Grill was next to West Angeles, because there was a time when I first moved out here, Earl's Grill was in Lemurk Park by the sneaker factory, and then they moved it down to the Chili House by West Angeles, and that's the time. So I went up in there to get some food, and I bumped into a brother by the name of Rashad Lewis, and he's a cinema photographer. He does camera work. And I saw Rashad, and I'm like, yo, Rashad, what's up, baby? And Rashad always gives me love. He always respects, you know, the belly, the journey. And he said, what's up with you, man? What you got going on? And I'm like, yo, I'm trying to do this documentary. He was like, about what? I said, about me. And Rashad's next words was, yo, that would be dope. He said, that would be dope. Rashad said that would be dope. I was like, bro, that's what I'm talking about. He said, well, this is the time that I had to do it. He said, look, these are my dates, because Rashad works as an industry cameraman. So he's already working. But he told me, he said, man, look, I'm available on these dates. And he gave me the dates that he can shoot it. We went to the studio, and Rashad helped me bring Mr. Real to Real, the documentary, to life. Rashad, my man, Rashad Lewis. He had his boy Naeem up in there with the dreads. He was doing sound. I mean, we had it popping. And we went to the studio. We went to a studio that was way down Crenshaw. It was after the 105, but it wasn't too far from the 105. A little small studio. You never would know it was a studio. And we shot Mr. Real to Real in that studio. And that was a life-changing shoot, because it was my documentary. And it changed my life, because I remember when I was shooting a documentary, it reminded me, like, there was a time in it where I was talking about my story, and it hit me all at once, and I just broke down. I broke down to tears inside the studio, because I had not realized how much I sacrificed to be an actor into that moment explaining my story. That was the first time I really explained my story in that kind of format, in that kind of context. So that was a powerful shoot. And so we ended up pulling the shoot off one day. I just talked my story to the camera. I was like, yo, just turn the camera on, and I'm going to talk my story. So we shot it, and I was like, all right, cool. So when are y'all going to edit it? They was like, man, we don't edit. Like, what you mean y'all edit? It's like, man, they was like, nah, we just shoot. So he gave me a drive with everything on it. So I found an editor by the name of Adele Drover. She's from Australia, and she was here waiting for an industry job, and she didn't get that job, so she lost her visa. And she had to go back to Australia. But before she left, she said, I'm going to cut you a short film. And she cut me a short film. And that's how I got my first short. Then I got another director by the name of Fernando. He cut me another cut. And we made the short better. And I worked with a couple of other directors. And we just kept cutting. And now I have a hot award-winning short film. But it's a short film. So it's a 13-minute cut. I want to make it a 30, But I'm not worried about that right now. I'm just worried about this podcast and just maintaining and letting everything just come as Godspeed. But yeah, that was really, really good, man. March 18th was the time of the birth of Mr. Real Real when we shot the documentary. And I'll never forget that moment, man. It was just great. Great time. Great as a filmmaker. I really enjoyed it. And it's one of the hottest short films ever. Once I make it a 30 or I make it a feature, it's going to be on. But like I said, right now, everything is just Godspeed and it's going down. But yeah, that was one of my favorite times. And now it's time for the grand finale of episode 3. Drum roll. Now, your boy worked with one of the biggest stars in the game. Top 3 R&B star. Now, check out how the audition went. So now is the grand finale of episode 3, season 1. You boy had the chance to work with one of the biggest pop stars, R&B stars in the game. So here's the funny thing about the audition. They didn't tell us who it was. This person was so big. The audition was so big, they didn't say who it was. So I'm at the audition. I'm not thinking that. I don't know who it is. But they telling me that it's a scene where I'm driving inside the hood and I'm inside of a big body foreign whip. And I'm trying to holler. So I'm just hanging out the window, you know, hollering. So I'm just spitting out, yo, what's up, baby? You know, I'm from New York. You already know what it is. I'm just spitting my game. I'm talking about I'm Hove, baby. I'm Hovey, because I always call myself Diddy. I call myself Hove, you know, because those are guys in my likenesses. And I've been saying that for a minute. So I'm trying to holler at her, you know. And that's it. I'm just spitting my game. That's it. So they was like, okay, thank you. So then they called me to book me. So I was like, okay, what's going on with this? So they booked me. It was way out. We had to shoot way out. Like, it was way out. It was off the 210. Yeah, the 210, but it was way out. It was, like, way out in the mountains. Like, so anyway, we get out there. Yo, it's top secret, like, it's super top secret. Like, it's super top secret. And they got us with, you got to put your phones in the tent. You know, they got different fans. We got to park over here. I mean, they are really not playing. They're telling us, no, don't play around. Don't do nothing. So all of a sudden, I'm just like, yo, who is this person? I'm like, yo, so now we get the hold in. And who do I see? I was like, yo, there go my poo-poo. Because I got a daughter. And, you know, and she reminds me of my daughter. So when I saw her, I couldn't believe it when I saw her. I was like, there's Blue Ivy, like, right in front of me. I'm like, yo, Blue Ivy. I'm like, oh, my God. Like, yo, you can't believe it because my daughter's 19. So I'm like, Hove. So my whole life is like, my daughter, like, when Blue Ivy came on the scene, everybody in the family used to always be, like, saying stuff like Naomi is like Blue, you know, Blue Ivy is like, Blue Ivy is like Naomi because Naomi's older than her. But I always liked Blue Ivy because she looked like her dad and looked like her mom. So when I saw Blue Ivy, I knew where we were. We're like, oh, it's Blue Ivy. Like, okay. I'm like, yeah, it's Blue Ivy. So seeing her felt good as a dad. Because see, what y'all don't realize is that I'm a Mr. Mom, I'm a daddy daycare. I sacrificed my life for my daughter. Everybody in the Crenshaw District knows it. Like anybody that lives in Crenshaw District knows that. That's the real, they call me the real New York, because there's a couple of dudes out here that's New York, but they call me the real New York. So I would always be out with my daughter. Like, I was always hands-on with her, like, letting her ride her bike, her tricycle, her car, just going for walks. Like, we always was out, and we was always out, was out and about. I even had dudes pull up on me in the Crenshaw District, and just, they didn't even know me. They'd be like, blood, cuz, whatever. They'd be like, y'all don't even know you, but I be seeing you putting in work with your C. I respect you, homie, and you making me a better father. And I done had dudes roll up on me before, like, bro, you a good dad, homie. They was like, bro, do you smoke? I'm like, yeah, they're like, come here. And they just like a whole handful, like, phew. I'm just like dropping stuff. Oh my God. Like, dudes done gave me money. Like, yeah, your little mama, they give her money for her, like stacks. I'm talking about a stack, bro. Like, this is real. Like, just in the Crenshaw district. Like, it's amazing. So, like, seeing Blue Ivy is just, it was just incredible. So, cause I'm, like I said, I'm just that kind of dad. Like I said, my daughter do everything. Swimming. She went to swimming on like rodeo and like, you know what I'm saying, King, where meets at that little spot over there, like rodeo park, whatever. I'm sorry, Rancho. She go there. Like my daughter was a Crenshaw baby. I got pictures of her all on Crenshaw, like driving a car, riding a bike, all that stuff. So anyway, seeing Blue Ivy was just incredible. So I'm like, I told everybody in the tent, like, yo, we on Beyonce set. They was like, what? It's Beyonce. So yeah, so Beyonce was shooting Lemonade. Yeah, she even credited me in it. Yo, Beyonce even credited me in Lemonade. Like, my name is in the credits. Like, Beyonce's official. So here's what happened on set that I don't like. So the director, Jonas, I was telling him, I'm in the video, Hold Up. So if you watch the video, Hold Up, you will see in the very beginning, she walks by the little boy, and then she walks by somebody else, but they faded it out. They like kind of like pan. They kind of like fade on it, but you can see me when she breaks the window of the actual car. You see me throw my hands up like, yo, mom, you got the back busting windows. What are you doing? But when she walks by me, the director, I asked the director, I said, you want me just to play the wall, or you want me try to sell her the glasses? He said, sell her the glasses. So when she walks by, I'm trying to sell her the shades. Like, yo, mom, you want some shades? And it didn't work because, of course, they bleeded on it. They, like, brushed. They didn't really, like, edit it. They didn't really cut it out. They kind of brushed on it. So you kind of see me, but you see me, like, faintly, like. And I'm like, yo, bro, I just could have played the wall and let her walk by and held the glasses up. Like, I got glasses. I ain't have to be like, yo, mom, I got the, you know, got 2 for $5. Whatever. I ain't have to do none of that shit. So that's the only thing I don't like, is that kind of messed up the scene. But being on set with, you know what I'm saying, Beyonce, that's actually the second time I was on set with her, because I worked with her on Dreamgirls. And when I worked with her on Dreamgirls, I saw her on Dreamgirls, and she was dope. But I was trying to wait for her to come take a picture so I can get a picture with all three of the Dreamgirls, and she never came. And I could have got a picture with the other two Dreamgirls, but I didn't. So I missed out on that photo moment trying to wait for Beyonce. That was messed up, man. And then I had a moment with Beyonce too, where I've had it with like some gang members that's been in LA before. I don't know what happened. I'm just a creative person. I like to commute. I like to ride. I like beautiful people. So apparently Beyonce had to hit me with. So we're in holding. I can't remember. And I'm just staring like, there's Beyonce. So apparently I must have been staring too long, because she hit me with the, like, what are you looking at, boy? And I was just like, I'm sorry. But she hit me with the, like, ugh. So I don't know how long I was looking. It happened to me in, like, L.A. a couple of times. I had some gang member dudes be like, the fuck you looking at, homie? And I'm like, bro, I'm just fascinated. Like, you're a gang member. Like, you're in uniform. I don't know. I'm just checking out the Dickies, and I don't know, the pro club. I don't know, bro. I'm sorry, man. Like, I'm just like, you're just cool. Like, I mean, I'm not a gang member. So it's like, he's like, sure you're not. I'm like, yeah, but you're more authentic. you're the real deal. I just be fronting. Like, so anyway, like, nah, but it was just amazing, man. Like, yeah, so definitely, it was just something that happened with her that I regret. I don't know what happened. I don't know. I wish she would tell me in the future, like, you was looking for 2 minutes or so. I don't know. But anyway, she definitely chin-checked me. But seeing her again on Lemonade and seeing Blue Ivy and working on such a big project, and just for them to cast me, man, it was just, like, amazing. And then we shot I watched them shoot some of the video with, like, the motorcycle riders, and then we shot another scene where we had, like, the crawfish thing was going on, and then I shot another scene in Lemonade in the video where I'm sitting at a table right when the explosion happened. So I'm at this little cafe. I'm wearing blue, and don't worry. For those of y'all that watched, so all these episodes are going to be in video, so you'll see photos that I'm talking about. But Yeah, I had this little blue beanie on, but I remember I took one for the team because the director told me that there's going to be an explosion. I remember this. He said, there's going to be an explosion. So me trying to make history, I'm like, nah, I don't care. I'm going to sit right here. He's like, you sure? I'm like, yeah, I'm sure. I'm like, I'm sure. Let's go ahead. Let's go with it. He's like, all right, man. I was like, man, let's do it. So, man, they ended up doing an explosion in this video. And, man, I got fried like a Frank. Yo, I felt the searing. I felt, just roll Charlie around with third-degree burns. Just roll Charlie back around. Yo, I swear to God, the heat was so intense. Yo, my face burnt on one whole side. Yep, I took it for the team. It was Beyonce. I mean, it wasn't like a third-degree burn, but I felt it. It was definitely, you know how you take a marshmallow and you put it over the little crud. It was definitely something. But yeah. But to work with Beyonce, man, was just incredible. And then not to work with her a long time ago when my agent called me for a Destiny's Child video and I didn't know who they were. I said, who are they? He said, it's called Destiny's Child. I'm like, man, I'm chilling. That's when I was dating a model. I'm like, bro, I'm in Park Slope. I'm in a condo. Like, what are you talking about? Go do an R&B video for somebody on who's Destiny's Child? So I was like, you saying, are we talking some SWV or something like that? Or you talking some TLC? Or you talking about, what was the other girl? Are you talking about some Escape? You know what I'm saying? You talking about some Brownstone, something like that? Your boy be up in there. But who the hell is Destiny's Child, son? Nah. Click. Stupid. And that was a good video. It was that Soldier video where all the homies was like, yo, what's up, ma? Yo, what's up? Yo, what's up, baby? Oh, man, I missed that video, dog. Like, trying to be Hollywood before I even got to Hollywood. I'm in New York. I'm in New York being Hollywood in New York, right? Yo, that's crazy, man. I'm being Hollywood in New York. Yeah, that's crazy. So, yeah, man. Yeah, that was a good time, man, working with her. Yeah, so, man, so that was definitely a life-changing moment. And I enjoyed that. I enjoyed that video shoot because the people that had the dirt bikes, I even hit it off with them. They had the dirt bikes on set, and we hit it off well. And it was crazy because one of the girls that was actually down with the team, she was fascinated by me. She was like, yo, she's like, first of all, they don't like nobody. They don't talk to nobody. You got them laughing and they kicking it with you and like. Y'all, she was like, who are you? She was just tripping. Like, I was like, nah, I'm just me. I'm just my, you know, I'm just, you know, I'm Mike Hill. And she was like, wow. So yeah, it was just one of the biker chicks. And but yeah, man, it was definitely an amazing video. Lemonade was dope. And the way Beyonce had a security, like we couldn't use our phones unless we went into a tent. You had to go into a tent. They gave you an envelope to put your phone in. You had to go in the tent and you only use the phone inside the tent. That's crazy how it went down. And they was on it. Like, they had security everywhere. And it was just official, man. But, nah, Beyonce was in. She was incredible. Shout out to Beyonce. Shout out to Hov. Shout out to Blue Ivy and the whole camp. And thank you for crediting me. And it was amazing. It was just amazing to work with Beyonce. It was just amazing. And to see her that close to me and just incredible. So, yeah, man. Twice working with her from Dreamgirls to Lemonade was just official. Yep. So, man, here we are. We are closing down on episode 3, season 1, The Understanding. I am so excited right now. I want to share something with everybody before I go. So I have a review that I would like to share. So this review is from a brother of mine, and he's definitely... his name is Aaron, and he used to work construction with me, and he also is into the entertainment business also, just like me, except he's more cameraman. So here's his review that he left me. I met Michael back in LA around 2019-2020. We used to always talk about the film industry and just getting in work. I heard his story at least 4 times, and it never, capital letters, it never ceases to amaze me. Glad he is making a podcast, which is the perfect way to highlight his very unique and entertaining story. It's good to see someone make something powerful when they have lived through adversity like he has. He used the entertainment industry to turn his life around. So it's guaranteed, capital letters, it's guaranteed to be entertaining. He came up in one of the hottest eras of hip hop and also has pics and stories with many stars and familiar names. Here we go. Hold on. I lost it. Familiar names, which makes his story stand out and really fascinate you while taking you back to this dope era when the film Belly had just was coming out. I done saw pics or stories with him with people like Cam'ron, Hype Williams, DMX, LeBron James, and many, many, many more. It's shocking how many big people he has worked with because he is usually real humble with it. But now, with this podcast, oh boy, he is finally set up to talk his shit. That's what's up, big bro. That's what's up, man. Aaron, man, I appreciate you, bro. Like, this is heartfelt, man. I've read it over and over. And anybody, if y'all in the Philly area, check out my man Aaron. They have a podcast studio called Potty Time. P-O-D-D-Y, Potty Time. Anybody in the tri-state area, well, I don't think you're going to travel from New York to Philly because there's mad spots in New York, but you really should. If y'all in New York or in Jersey, just go to Philly and just catch the train and go see my man Aaron in his camp. It's Potty Time, P-O-D-D-Y, Time, man. And like I said, check him out, man. He's a really, 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 really dope brother. I want everybody out there to keep maintaining. Keep drinking your lemon water, you know, streets, you know, saying street smarts, man. Always watch your front, side, and back. Just all I got to say, watch your front, side, and back. Wherever you, somewhere, just pay attention before you enter a building, before you exit a building. You know, just always watch your front, side, and back and keep distance from people. It's just, a lot of this stuff is common sense. You know, you got to be on point, man. You got to put your money up, you know. Like, I see people all the time opening their wallets in public and opening, like, females or either males, and they got too much cash on them. Like, yo, you don't know who I am. Like, you don't know what I got, what I'm going through. Like, you gonna pull out a knot like that in front of me? Like, for real? Like, you don't know me at all. Pay attention, people, because it's going down out here, for real. And then when I try to tell people, like, yo, watch yourself, they're looking at me like, I'm like, look, if I want, I get this shit if I wanted it, but I don't want it. I'm just trying to save you from. The only reason I can't get it is because too many cameras. Wasn't no cameras. I might get some wreck on you. I don't know, but it's too many cameras. So I watched First 48. They only break the damn case because of the camera. Every case broke because of the camera. Every case is broke because of the camera. It might not be one right there, but get what? It won down the block. It won around cone. It won down the other cone. And somebody going to get you, boy. You're going to read on one of them, boy. They're going to see that charger riding by. They're going to be like, there it go right there. There it go. And it's way down. So we know Jeff in there. We know everybody up in there. They can tell how far low is riding, boy. They know everything, boy. They can see everything. Because if it was just him and wifey, it'd be up a little higher. But anyway. But nah, man, listen, I want everybody, man, listen, stay happy and stay blessed. And man, I'm trying to just do all the right things. You know what I'm saying? Again, you know, right now I'm focused on life, you know, seeds, you know. And man, we can all grow. We can all, it's always room to grow. And just keep elevating, man. Cause you know my motto is I ain't maintaining. I'm ascending. Constantly ascending. I'm trying to ascend and constantly grind and just keep going and doing all the right things. So again, y'all, just always know that you've blessed just by waking up. Just always believe that it's going to be okay. It's going to be fine. I'm telling you, everything will be fine. If you do the right thing, you put your best foot forward, the Most High will bless you. I'm a firm believer. I am a true testament of it. You know, as of January 4th, I'm the big 5-2. That's why this is my year. 5 + 2 = 7. 2023, add it all up, it's 7. It's going down right now. It's a divine era. Everything is lining up. And like I said, man, I'm going to keep hitting you weekly. I'm going to keep bringing you them real stories. And I'm going to keep bringing you the truth. Because that's what Mr. Real the Real podcast is about, the truth. I ain't talking about nobody in jail. I don't care about who caught a fade in jail. Like, what's that doing for my babies? Like, what's that doing for anybody? Like, y'all talking about fights in jail? Really? Like, for real? Like, y'all really talking about fights in jail? Y'all got drunks talking about drunks out here, man. This is like, this is crazy, man. Like, it's wild. It's really, really wild. So I'm only here to bring you the realest stories. I'm here to bring you the realest, realest chronicles. I'm here to bring you untold stories you never heard before. And as long as you keep tuning in weekly, you're going to keep being amazed. You're going to keep being blown away, fascinated, and just constantly just empowered. That's what I'm here to do. I'm here to tell my story, because if I can do it, you then you can too. Because you don't understand the blessings that are out here available for you in entertainment business, in the construction business, and so many trades. It's just so many things that you can be out here doing besides doing the wrong thing. Because I went cold turkey, man. I walked away from being illegitimate to being legit. And the reason why is because I became conscious. So when I was doing all that stuff, I was unconscious. But once you get to a level of consciousness and you know right from wrong and you still doing wrong, that's just not what's up. It's not. And taking no accountability for yourself and for the things that you are doing is the worst form of abuse that you can do to yourself. But looking in that mirror and saying, self, I love you, and self, I'm going to be better self, and I'm going to do whatever it takes, self, to do the right thing, and I'm going to just do whatever, and I'm going to move as moral as I can, I'm going to move as godly as I can, because, see, life is not about being perfect. It's about being, like, as perfect as you can get. But it's okay to be, imperfect, man. Don't beat yourself up, because beating yourself up is another form of abuse. Just do better. That's how I look at life. I just do better. Like, if I do a repeated mistake, I just be like, yo, do better, do better. You got to just do better. So anyway, y'all, stay focused, man. Stay special forces. Drink that lemon water. Remember I told you, man, stay focused. That's the main thing, to stay focused and be thankful for what you got. Don't worry about what you don't have. Just be thankful for what you got.